Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. I actually happen to have John Stein from the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission. He's in here. He's in the house. Love it because the weather's nice.
Yes.
Makes everyone start thinking about coffee and fishing.
Yep.
So it's pretty good. You have some projects that are going on, so we wanted to touch base with those. But First, we want to talk about fish mortality during these warm weathers because we're seeing lots of people post lots of photos of maybe stripers and fish, and there's a reason why it's good, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so striped bass in Beaver Lake, they actually are found in a thermal refuge right now. That's why they're all pretty much concentrated down by the dam in,
right.
in a thermal refuge below the thermic line. So it could be 60 to 80 feet deep.
Wow.
And you, you know, if you catch one and you bring it up to the surface when it's from that far down and it's a bigger fish, it's probably going to die.
Right.
And so we just recommend that catching, you know, during the summertime, if you catch one, you just keep it.
What's the parameters of when it should be catch and keep compared to catch and release?
What
months do you think?
So I would say, you know, get through September into October when the water temperature is dropping, you know, into the 70s. And if it's in the low 70s, high 60s, you can probably get away with catch and release. And plus, those stripers are not in the thermal refuge. And, you know, they're in the thermal refuge in that deeper water from about June, maybe late May, from June until about September, Labor Day, and then they'll kind of move on if the water's cooling off enough.
Right. And does that have anything to do with the thermal climb changing and dissipating?
Yeah. So as the water at the surface starts cooling down, you know, the lake's going to turn over and they're going to get out of that thermal refuge probably around September, October.
Right. And so the numbers of stripers, just for reference, how many did you stock in, say, you know, the last 2 years?
So we stocked, 300,000 2 years in a row.
Okay.
We had huge numbers of little stripers now. You know, we're seeing a lot of smaller ones. So this last year, we dropped it back to 100,000.
Okay.
And so we've stocked about, 700,000 stripers in 3 years.
Yeah. Okay. And so, so that plays a part in striper fishing. Let's talk about some of these fish that people like to catch. Also is walleye.
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect walleye?
Okay.
The same mortality. Walleyes are crappie when you're fishing in the summer.
You know, your hooking mortality or your mortality from fishing is not going to be as bad for like walleye and crappie and bass in the summertime because you're not bringing them. Like the stripers, you're bringing them up 60 feet, you know, in a short amount of time. So it's not as bad as striped bass. And that's why we recommend striped bass fishermen to keep their fish when they catch one. But it can be, you know, like tournament fishing or just, you know, it can be kind of stressful on the fish in the summertime. Right. But most of the time, walleye, largemouth bass, smallmouth bass, they're going to survive being hooked in the summer.
Okay.
Most of the time, they're just they're more hardy. They're not being pulled from 60 feet of water, you know, or 80 feet of water.
Let's talk about crappie in hot water because, not grease. Don't get all excited, everyone. In hot water, like in Oklahoma, I caught some that were in water temperature super hot, like high 90s, and we caught them like in 3 foot of water.
Wow.
Now is that that's the extreme, right?
But yeah.
Like what would they be comfortable in? Like say if you're out fishing brush piles and you had a brush pile on 10 foot compared to like 18 foot, 20 foot.
I would say, you know, it depends on the area of the lake, but further down towards the dam, the fish are going to be deeper. A lot of times walleye, crappie, largemouth bass, most everything in the heat of the summer, they're going to be a little further down closer to that thermocline.
Right.
And, That's kind of where you would target. I wouldn't be, especially if the water clarity is pretty clear, I wouldn't be fishing in 3 feet of water like in Oklahoma. But I would say 30. That those deeper brush piles are better in the summertime. You know, 18, 20 feet deep are probably where the fish are holding out a little better in the summer.
So as fish It's because we have live scope now, and if people are using it, we see a lot of fish that are on top of the brush, and they're not necessarily crappie. A lot of them are brim, right? Mm-hmm. So if you were brim fishing, actually, and you're fishing brush piles, if you were doing it, where would you fish?
So if I was for brim, I would be like blue eel, red ear, sunfish around, anywhere from Highway 12 south.
Right.
You know, there's some really good red ear and bluegill fishing in Montanay, Blackburn Creek. Those areas are really good. We've run a lot through the nursery pond in the past, but that's where I would be targeting. And, you know, if they're, let's say, finding brush piles, if they're at the top of that brush pile, just try to get that, you know, your red worm or whatever you're using right there at the top of the brush pile. Another secret is, like, on some lakes, as the water's dropping right now.
Right.
You know, it's dropping. And I've noticed this on bull shoals and beaver. If you can find a, like a little pocket on the lake.
Right.
It's got a lot of detritus, which means a lot of, you can look up on the bank and you can see a bunch of dead leaves and stuff in this little cove. I found that there's a lot of bluegill and red ear that hang around those areas, and that's a good good spot to look for.
Right.
Is like an area like that, because I don't know if they're feeding in some of the the aquatic insects that are in that leaf detritus.
Right.
But that's a good thing to look for too. And I noticed that's kind of a secret I found from some anglers.
Oh, we like that.
Yeah.
We love secrets.
Yeah.
Oh, we like catching. We love catching brim down there at the boat dock, and so that's fun. But I know that you see that on LiveScope, and if you try and catch those fish that are on top, they're brim.
Yeah.
You know, you got to keep going down to somewhere down inside there. We talked about fish attractors, so we're going to insert this into it. The Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, actually on their website, they actually have a place where you can go and download fish attractors, isn't there?
Yes. If you just go to our, ArkansasAGFC.com, and you search up fish attractors under our fisheries division page, it'll actually have all the brush piles that we've put in Beaver Lake, but not just Beaver Lake. It's all the lakes across the state. And every biologist is taking GPS coordinates of the brush piles or the mossback fish habitat we're putting in the lake or lakes. And we put those in a format where you can go to our website and there's instructions on how you can upload them to your depth finder or your, especially you have to have GPS capabilities obviously on your depth finder, but, it's really popular. If I was going to go fishing a lake I hadn't fished before, that would be the first thing I would do is get those brush pile coordinates put on my unit. And then you can go, you can kind of go and have a better fishing experience. You know, you can probably catch more fish than just going out there blind, and just beating the bank or something.
Is there some reservoirs that also have signs on the shoreline?
Yeah. We kind of got away from doing that, but I know Bull Shoals and Norfolk has, they had some signs up for people that didn't have didn't have GPS capabilities. But if you're a bank angler or somebody that doesn't have a GPS depth finder, you can actually go to the same website and you can find a map, of Beaver Lake and kind of zoom in on it and kind of get an idea where some of the brush piles are that are closer to the bank for bank anglers.
Right. And so I've been to their website. So they basically have broke it down into Lowrance, Hummingbird, and Garmin. And so when you download them, I'm just going to give you a tip here. When you download the Garmin, you need to make sure that you're making it a GPX file when you download it, because Garmin won't recognize it otherwise, and it'll come back and your card will show that it's empty, but it's empty because you didn't download the right file. So when you do that, pay attention to that part and download the right file on that. And then boom, they come up, they show, and it makes it really easy to go to them. Mm-hmm. And you did a big project. They can probably go to Facebook and kind of see where you guys were, what like what you were actually dumping off that pontoon boat?
Yeah, it depends on what we were doing. We've done a couple things. The Corps allows the Game and Fish to cut cedar trees off the wildlife management area. So we've done a lot of cedar tree brush piles. But this last project we did about a couple years ago, we actually put together some log cribs.
Right.
And with white oak lumber. Wow. It's just rough sawn lumber that we put these cribs together. They're about, I don't know, about 4 or 5 feet off the bottom.
Right.
And they're made with, white oak lumber. And so they'll be there forever. And we put one weight in them. One probably didn't need it because the white oak, I mean, that's heavy and it sinks, it sinks really easily. But we probably put, a few hundred of those in around Hickory Creek.
Right.
During that project. So, but we have over 400 fish habitat sites on the lake. And we actually have there's a graduate student at Arkansas Tech University, actually works for the Game and Fish, and he's doing a project to evaluate those habitat structures that we have out and how they're holding fish. So that's going to be a really good project. But yeah, they're
Joe's Creek. Do you live around Joe's Creek? Because I'm telling you, there's all kinds. You put a lot of brush. You put a lot of tractors in Joe.
No,
Joe's Creek, it's too far from the house. You got to come down a little closer.
It's just, it depends on where, where we're getting the trees from. You know, if we have a place where we can, where we can get trees off the shoreline, the Corps allows us to do that. It just depends where we have the source of habitat.
But I'm telling you, if you're fishing Beaver Lake, one of the most underfished coves on Beaver Lake is Joe's Creek.
Joe Creek, yeah.
Yep. It has the creek channels running in. It's got a split. It's, a fork that runs back in there. It's got deep water. It's got habitat. It has attractors in there. It kind of sets up with a couple points. It kind of sets up like its own little lake in a way, as fish migrate back and then as they migrate, in the winter and then back forward, it's kind of cool that we have one of those.
Yeah.
You should talk about projects because you have some going on. Actually the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission is that the Hall of Fame banquet? Is that?
We actually applied for we put together an organization called the Northwest Arkansas Fish Habitat Alliance. And we're actually probably going to go ahead and call it the Arkansas Fish Habitat Alliance because we are getting some other interest across the state from other lakes.
Right.
But basically, we put this organization together to try to raise funding for fish habitat, purchasing mossbacks.
Right.
And different things like that. We have a professional, a lot of anglers on it. Greg Bohannon, who's a professional angler, he's on our board. We have Beaver Watershed Alliance. Becky Roark is on the board. And then a teacher, Haley Robinson from Lincoln High School. And basically our goal is to work together to raise funding to do fish habitat projects, but incorporate the high schools. So we'll get a project, get funding for a project that we have going on right now. We actually got a $22,500 grant from the Reservoir Fish Habitat Partnership. The money came from Bass Pro Shops Outdoor, Bass Pro Shops Cabela's Outdoor Fund.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to be doing a mossback fish habitat project on two of our smaller lakes, Crystal Lake and Siloam Springs City Lake. We're actually going to have Bentonville High School helping us with their outdoor ed program. They're going to be putting these mossbacks together and helping us sink them in the lake. So that's been really positive. We've done several projects across this, Arkansas, mainly Northwest Arkansas, with mossback builds.
Right.
But the other thing that's really growing is we're trying to get some native aquatic vegetation or aquatic plants established in Beaver Lake.
Right.
And we have several schools in the Fayetteville School District, and we have Harbor High School at Springdale.
Right.
And we're basically, if they're set up with a greenhouse, we're going into these schools and actually having the classes and the kids help us pot plants, and then they raise these plants through the school year, and then we'll take them and put them into Beaver Lake at the end of the school year, which is mainly probably in April and May.
Right.
And our goal is to get some, different aquatic vegetation established in these lakes. Like one of them that we're working on Beaver Lake is coontail. That's a really good, native vegetation that if we could get established, it'd be a game changer. We also have, we're working with a plant called American pondweed, and we found something out pretty cool that we thought it would just, only go to 5 feet in the water. Normally in the pond, you see it, it grows 5 feet off the bottom. Well, we had one of our floating cages, which we had 200 plants in around Rocky Branch. Uh-huh. It sank to the bottom last year in like 16 feet of water. And we noticed that this summer that it actually grew to the surface in 16 feet of water, that American pondweed. And we have a video on one of our AGFC Fisheries Division Facebook page,
right,
where we put an aqua view down around that vegetation, and there was all kinds of fish around it. Right. A lot of bluegill. Actually saw some small stripers, small white bass, tons of bluegill and red ear sunfish around it. So if we can get some aquatic vegetation established in Beaver Lake, it's going to be very beneficial to the fishery, big time. So that's kind of what we've been working on with the Habitat Alliance. It's been a really good project. Couple projects we're working on, doing the physical habitat builds, but then also trying to get some vegetation established in lakes.
So let's talk about, you talked about the cages. Tell us what they look like and what's the life expectancy for those? Are you thinking that you get
probably get 3 to 4 years, 5 years. And so we actually found we're changing our game plan now since we had that vegetation that grows that tall. We're actually going to be just placing some in burlap sacks,
right,
and have vegetation growing in the mud in a burlap sack, and then you can just drop that into the boat or into the lake. It'd go to the bottom and attach to the mud that's there.
So we have plenty of mud up here in the river arms. So I feel bad if you get a little vegetation growing. Our issue, and isn't it the issue of the water levels? That's playing a part on where you're trying to put these. Like, they're not going to end up in our house.
In this area. They're not going to end up in the upper end of the lake. We're focusing mainly around we're going to have some vegetation we're trying to establish around Prairie Creek.
Right.
But Hickory Creek, Rocky Branch down to the dam, where the water clarity is a lot better. If we can get these plants established in 15 to 20 feet of water at normal pool, it rarely gets 15 or 20 feet low, Beaver Lake, maybe 10 feet low. So that's what we have to do, is get them established in a certain depth of water. If we went out and put them in 3 feet of water, in a couple months, the plants would be dead because they'd be exposed to sunlight and out of the water. That's why we're focusing mainly, the middle to lower end of the lake down by the dam, because it has better water clarity.
And you guys have, you might have, but have you ever stocked shad in Beaver Lake?
We have not. I think, maybe if the hatchery had a surplus 1 year, they may have put a few in. But no, the thread fin shad, no. And the reason why they're doing so well, you see it, there's just millions of those things out here, is because of the nutrients that come into the lake with the high water like we had this year.
Every year.
Last five years.
It may be more. Yeah. I could go back and look. This year, actually, the water level is higher than the past 2 years as of right now, where it'd been lower. So I see that the plan is once we get down to conservation pool, then it'll start raining. We'll start to cycle back.
Yeah, it'll probably go back up again.
I think all these Arkansas Game and Fish guys, they all have to do, they'll have to go rain dances if the water gets too low. And you guys are really good at it, I guess,
because
we keep getting high water. But we haven't had one of those issues. And just touch on the base of high water, high water, high water. We actually probably need a low water year somewhere in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And because largemouth bass are getting off good spawns during the high water, like every year, it's good for crappie because you know, for me and for anglers, you want crappie to get spawns off consistently, and right. they have been. So that's been awesome for crappie. And I mean, it's really, really good for crappie. Largemouth bass are, you know, they're getting off some really good spawns. There's a tremendous number of bass in the population right now, less than 18 inches, just huge numbers of them. But yeah, a hot, one low water year would be good.
Like skip a year.
Or a normal water year, you know.
Normal.
Yeah.
Well, normal. We don't know what that is.
I'd say we call it low water because, yeah, we've been getting all these. It seems like every year. I mean, you know, like this year, like you said, the lake did come up and stayed up until now. You know, it's still a couple feet up.
And about a foot and a half of our thing right now.
But. Right. And a couple years ago, you know, last year and the year before, it came up. And stayed up until like Memorial Day 1 year, and then it dropped back down. And then the year before, it was up until like July, you know. Right. So this is more of a summer, you know, high water event.
It'll be good because of the sedimentation, I think, that's in the lake. You know, I see it because I live right here, and I see the color changes as the traffic patterns, you know, increase, and bigger boats, especially down here in the river arms. Big boats, like, you know, how are they turning around big boats? It's like, you know, they're very big. And so hopefully they get some more, I don't know, but habitat and things growing on the shore banks up farther to help break at least some of the sediment that comes in when we get those flooding waters. So that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures and B&M Poles. Pico Lures, of course, if you're trying to catch fish, they have everything you need to go catch them. And especially the crankbaits, if you're going out there crappie fishing and trolling, boy, I tell you what, they catch them. And actually, yesterday, we actually caught a 23-inch walleye on the pink splatterback on the Pico. And so we caught some walleye on crankbaits. Actually kind of focused down that 30-foot range is what we were kind of dragging them around. And so that was the key in there up around Rocky Branch. And like I said, they have everything that you need right there at picolures.com. Or you can find them in local stores also have them. B&M Poles, of course, have a complete line of fishing rods, and for everything from catfish to crappie, you name it, they got it. You can check them out at bnmpoles.com. John, if they want to find out more about Arkansas Game and Fish, or they want to go again, tell us again where you can find the fish attractors.
Yeah, so if you just go to agfc.com or just type in a search bar, Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, you'd be able to find information on fish attractors that way. If you want to look more about, you know, learn more about the fisheries up here in Northwest Arkansas, we have a Facebook page. It's AGFC Fisheries Division. I mean, you could just, you know, follow that page because a couple times a month I'm posting something on there. It's a statewide, you know, like Facebook page, but I'm posting on there two or three times a month. And if, you know, if anybody needed to reach out to me about questions they have about the Habitat Alliance or anything else, you know, my phone number is 479-640-6422.
And in a nutshell, tell us again what the Alliance does.
So we are trying to raise money to improve fish habitat in our local lakes.
Okay. Yep. There you go. There you have it. Like I always like to say, make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.